In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells his apostles that it is expedient for him to leave. They didn't like that idea. We can all understand that. If our Lord was right here with us in his human nature teaching us, and then he said, I have to go, we'd say, no, stay with us. We need you. He said, no, if I don't go, then the advocate can't come. But if you go, I'll send him to you. And so we know that that's exactly what happened. He sent the Holy Spirit upon his apostles. At our baptism, the same Holy Spirit filled us, and at confirmation, with the fullness of his being and his sevenfold gifts. But we really need to think a little bit deeper, because we have to ask the question, what happened at the moment that we were baptized? Now, we all know that the moment we're baptized, original sin is removed from our soul and sanctifying grace is infused, and we become members of the church, we become members of our blessed Lord. All these different things that go on, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are given, the theological virtues are there, the natural virtues are infused, all these things are going on. But the greatest, the most important of the things that happen at the moment that we're baptized is that the most holy Trinity comes to dwell within us. Now, all of those things we all know. But we hear something in the first reading that is really quite astounding. St. James tells us that of his own will, God has begotten us by the word of truth. God has begotten us. What do we say about Jesus? We already heard it once in the Gloria, that he is the only begotten Son of God, unigenitum, the only begotten. We will use that word again in the Creed. And even more clearly in the Creed, we will say, genitum non factum, begotten, not made. So from all eternity, our Lord is begotten of the Father. He is not created, he is God from all eternity. He took a human nature to himself, which is a created nature. But as God, he is uncreated. He is begotten. Now St. James is using that exact same word for you and me. Now obviously we are creatures. We were conceived in our mother's wombs. We were created at that moment. And yet, at the moment that we were baptized, you and I became sons and daughters of God. That is not part of our material creation. That's not just part of our humanity. In fact, it's not part of our humanity at all. Just like the divinity of Jesus is not part of his humanity. Yes, in Jesus it is one person with two natures. But his humanity and his divinity are completely, while they are completely united, they are completely distinct. So think about what St. James is saying about you. You have been begotten by God. He has made you his own son or daughter. Now again, maybe we've heard these things 1,000 times, and so it goes in one ear and out the other. Don't let that happen. Look at who you are. St. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. There are lots and lots of good gifts. There's only one perfect gift. Because there is only one who is perfect, and that is God. And so what has God done? He has sent his Son into the world, the perfect gift. And now the Son has gone back to be with the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit, the perfect gift. But in sending the Holy Spirit, unlike in the sending of our Lord, the Holy Spirit is within. Jesus was among his apostles. He was there with them. Now the Lord is within us. Not just with us, within us. We have been changed. We have been given a participation in the divine nature. That again happened at the moment that you were baptized. You share the divine life and you share in the divine nature. Our parents didn't do that. Our parents provided what is necessary for our physical being. God provided our soul. But even with our conception, even with the infusion of our soul, we are made in the image and likeness of God, but we don't participate in the divine nature. We are not yet children of God, not until the moment that we're baptized. And then a massive change occurs. At the moment that we talk, even at the last gospel, about the fact that the Lord was made flesh and dwelt among us. We genuflect at that point, that he would humble himself to take on our human nature. We kneel in the creed at that moment when we talk about the incarnation of our blessed Lord. He who has by eternity and by nature, he is God, he has a divine nature. And he took on our human nature. There is no change that happened in his divine person. But now God has assumed a human nature. You and I were created as human persons. And at the moment we were baptized, there is this entire change that happens, that we become partakers of the divine nature. We genuflect or we kneel when we hear about our Lord's humility and his charity in taking on our nature. We should be on our face when we think about the fact that God has given us a participation in his nature. Yes, it is absolutely astounding that our Lord would humble himself to become one of us. It is also absolutely astounding that he would take the likes of us and raise us up to a divine level of acting and being, to give us a participation in his divine nature and in his divine life, to make us his own sons and daughters. That is what it is to be begotten by God. And the only person that we say that about is Jesus himself. And now, St. James is saying it of you. How? Because God has only one Son. So if you and I are going to be sons and daughters of God, there is only one way that that can happen, and that is that we become members of the one, only begotten Son of God. And that is exactly what happened on the day that you were baptized. You became a member of the only begotten Son of God, and therefore you were begotten of God. Now again, this might just sound like highfalutin theology or something like that. No, it is not. I mean, it's rather amazing stuff, yes. But this is what's happening inside of you. This is who you are. This isn't just some theoretical stuff, isn't that cool? We can talk. No. This is very practical. The problem is, how do you describe it? How do you make it practical when we're talking about something that is a mystery? That people like us can become children of God. And yet that is what we are. Now the question is, do we act that way? Do we live that way? That's why St. James then, in talking about the fact that we are the first fruits of his creatures, which again, think about that. St. Paul says the exact same thing about Jesus, that he is the first fruits of all creation through his resurrection. And now St. James is saying you and I are the first fruits of his creatures. How can this be? Because we're members of Jesus, who is the first fruits of all creation. And so therefore, St. James then, immediately after that says, therefore let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, be like God. What do we see in our blessed Lord? He was cautious about what he said. He didn't get angry. What do? We're shooting off our mouths all the time. And somehow we keep justifying why it's okay for us to be angry. Look at the cross. Did anyone have right to be angry? Yeah, he had a right to be angry. And was he? No. You're a member of Jesus Christ. If God gives you a participation in the cross, should you be angry? I have a right to be angry because look what that person did to me. You have the grace to be holy. Maybe we need to start looking at it in the positive sense because of the gifts that the Lord has given to us, because of who he has begotten us to be. Are we willing to really strive to grow in virtue? Or do we just want to keep justifying ourselves in our vice? The Lord has called us to holiness. The Lord is calling you and me to be his sons and daughters. He's not just calling us, he's already made us that. Now he's asking us to conform ourselves to become who we are. Well, we've got the human part down real well. How about the divine part? You participate in the divine nature. You have been elevated to a divine level of acting and being. Ask yourself, do I act like a son or a daughter of God? When people interact with me, do they see that? Do they experience that? Sort of like that question that somebody asked a number of years ago, if you were arrested and put on trial for being Catholic, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You're going to stand before the Lord one day. He's going to say, you are my son or my daughter. Is there enough evidence to prove that? God knows who we are. Have we demonstrated that to the world? Have we lived it in our lives? Those are the kinds of things that we need to be looking at. Are we really striving to live holy lives? If we really were to ponder that, if we really think about why we get down on our knees when we hear about the Son of God becoming a son of man, what should be our reaction when we think about the Son of Man becoming a son of God? Because that's who we are. We just shrug that off, we ignore it, we act like it's not real. Oh, sure, we'll acknowledge it, but it doesn't really have any practical reality in our lives. That'd be like saying, well, the humanity of Jesus didn't really have any practical reality in his life. Now, he lived a fully human life. You are a son or a daughter of God. You're to live a divine life. Sure, we live in our human nature. Certainly, we're in this world. We have to live in this world. We have to live in this world as sons and daughters of God, begotten by God. We should be astounded at this mystery. So ask yourself, when it comes to the Creed here in just a minute, and we get down on our knees at the moment of the Incarnation, am I getting down on my knees just because that's what I do every time we pray the Creed, because everyone else is doing it, so I just go along? Or are you doing it because you really, truly believe, because you are absolutely astounded at the mercy and the love of God and the humility of God to take our human nature, that he would lower himself, if you will, to be able to do that? Then go home and look in the mirror and recognize that God has begotten you. He has made you his own son or daughter. He has lifted you up. Just exactly the opposite of what happened with Jesus. He came down to our level. Now he has lifted us up to his level. Ponder that. Bring that to prayer. Let that in. And really look at what that means. Because that's who you are. That's the reality that is literally happening inside you right now. God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts. That's what St. Paul says. He has poured out his Spirit into our hearts. He is within. He has changed us to make us divine. Don't just let that go in one ear and out the other. Just as we don't just want to kneel in a few minutes because that's what we do. I don't know why we do it, but we do. No. Understand why we do. Be in awe of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and get down on your knees because God has become one of us. And then be in awe because he has reversed this now. And he has made you his son or daughter. He has begotten you. He has raised you up to a divine level of acting and of being. And then strive to change your life, to live according to the perfect gift that God has given to you.